Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Da du sikkert lei av å høre meg snakke om hvor enkelt det å levere skattemeldingen med fiken. Så vi gir oss her. Fordi vi liker enkelt. Fiken. Superenkelt regnskap.
En podcast fra Podplay.
Ready? You have the cameras rolling? He was hosting boozy parties in Downing Street.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I have a dream.
We will win this election and we will change the country together.
We must be united to make it, and we'll do it. Slava Ukraini!
Velkommen.
Velkommen.
Mitt navn Erik Bergesen.
Og mitt navn Sofie Høgestøl.
Og dette vårt nok så uhøytidelige, veldig personlige forsøk på å gå bak ukas nyheter, lete etter sammenhenger, si noe om fremtiden, på jakt etter det store bildet, slik vi ser det.
Hver fredag.
Og nå det tirsdag.
Og nå det tirsdag.
Og grunnen til at vi har denne bonusepisoden jo at vår forrige episode på fredag var såpass lang.
Vi skulle jo egentlig tagge dette intervjuet som du har gjort her på fredagens episode. Det var det vi teaset. Det var jo intensjonen. Vi sier jo det innledningsvis på episoden på fredag, at det var det vi skulle gjøre. Og sånn ble det ikke, for vår samtale med denne godeste ambassadør Knut ble så lang og så god og så interessant, at vi måtte gi den plassen den fortjente.
Og selv med, på Kondis sterke det store bildet lyttere, så to timer
det litt langt.
Det er langt.
Det er langt.
Og jeg synes at denne praten som jeg hadde med Marina Saprykina står seg godt alene. Hun jo da en ukrainsk forretningsleder og aktivist. Altså, hvem ikke aktivister i Ukraina i disse dager? Det blant annet hennes budskap. Og hun snakket altså på Oslo Business Forum med titlen Thriving Chaos, om det som rett og slett det totale kaos. Hennes foredrag heter Ukrainian Grit, Empowering Global Business with Extreme Resilience. Og det på en måte den der vanvittige motstandskraften da, mot de kreftene som prøver å ødelegge det samfunnet, som faktisk gir en del nye muligheter og faktisk gjør at det landet ikke bare holder stillingen, men de faktisk beveger seg fremover, og ikke bare militært, men faktisk også i sivilsamfunnet. Her det mennesker som omgås, som handler med varer, som ser etter muligheter, og ikke minst prøver å finne sin rolle i det fremtidige Europa, og ikke minst det europeiske demokratiet. Så en soft-spoken dame med en veldig sånn styrke i den stemmen.
Og jeg så glad for, jeg fikk møtt henne under Arendalsuka, for hun var med på det store sånn internasjonale arrangementet på Arendalsuka, jeg heter Global Outlook, og hun var der og snakket om ukrainsk grit. Og det var veldig inspirerende å høre på, og så tenkte jeg, når du fikk muligheten til å intervjue henne, jeg kunne dessverre ikke være med, for jeg hadde vanlig jobb. Men jeg ble veldig glad for det, for vi har jo ikke hatt noen ukrainske stemmer ordentlig i denne podden. Og det har vært en mangelvare. Så det å få snakke med noen som står midt i dette, som kan gi oss det ukrainske perspektivet, og som kan gi oss kanskje et litt annerledes ukrainsk perspektiv enn det vi hører om ellers, det synes jeg var veldig fint at vi fikk til.
Jeg er helt enig, og det, for meg som ikke kjenner begrepet vanlig jobb, så det veldig fint å kunne gjøre sånne ting. Og det var altså en fantastisk anledning til å altså høre altså, egentlig relativt usentimental beretning om hva som skjer nå, samtidig som hun sa fra scenen nå, altså refererer til en periode på uker hvor hun bare gråt, ikke sant? Og så reiser man seg, og så ser man hvordan man best kan gjøre noe med situasjonen, og altså, løse det som nå virker uløselig. Så veldig fascinerende. Vi fant en krok av konferansen, og ved hjelp av moderne AI-teknologi så snakket vi sammen og fikk dempet støyen rundt. Det var gøy bare å teste det. Og det ble en fin samtale, så vær så god, lyttere. Her har dere Marina Saprykina.
Når du forestiller deg et innbrudd, så ser du for deg drama.
Okay, se om du finner noen passord.
Kaos. At noen tar på det som ditt, invaderer det du har nærest.
Finn kort informasjon.
Det som bare du og kjæresten din vet om.
Masse private bilder. Nydelig.
Men sannheten at mens et digitalt innbrudd pågår, så merker du ingenting.
For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester i våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
Kjenner du noen som snart har bursdag? Med morgenlevering kan du sende bursdagsfrokosten helt hjem til noen du glad I. Enten det partneren din, en god venn eller et familiemedlem. Gjør dagen ekstra spesiell for en du bryr deg om. Med frokost, blomster og sjokolade. Levert hjem på den store dagen. Fordi en god bursdag starter med en ekstra god frokost. Se hvor enkelt det å gi noen en minnerik bursdagsmorgen på morgenlevering.no.
So, Marina, it's such a pleasure and honor for me to be able to talk to you here today. As we were talking just earlier, I told you that this podcast, in fact, was started because of the Russian invasion to Ukraine and the need for, I think, the general public in Norway and all over the world, and certainly Sophia and myself, to understand why is this happening and how can this be resolved. And I just heard you speak here at Oslo Business Forum. It was very inspiring. And I'm very eager to hear the business model that you have communicated here today. But first of all, could you please start by just describing the situation the way you see it as of today in Ukraine?
I'm from Kyiv, so I came here for Oslo Business Forum. And from one hand, we are looking for victory, and this is normal. And we believe in our army. We believe in our people and our soldiers. From the other hand, everybody now is talking about winter. And we know what happened last winter when 50% of Ukraine's energy infrastructure was destroyed. And we know that this winter could be quite difficult because of the high demand for electricity, and the infrastructure is still damaged. And we have already observed that Russia started to fire their rockets and drones at critical infrastructure. So they made a kind of preparation for this. And just two nights ago, it was Odessa, and their aim was grain terminal to make the hunger worldwide. But we understood that quite soon it would be critical energy infrastructure.
Mm. And you talk about the army, but you come from the civic society and businesses. How would you describe the way civic society in Ukraine has managed since the war started?
In my opinion, it strengthened a lot, and also many new initiatives appeared, and the Ukrainians showed great example of volunteering, and actually number of volunteering organizations increased by 8 times. Also, there are a lot of volunteers in the companies, etc., etc. So we volunteered a lot. And I think it also strengthened Ukrainian society, because this organization, being informal now, they have already been registered. And it's a kind of new source for our civil society movement. And also now we have a very key segment of civil society that worked for army. They collect money for drones, for some military help.
We're at a business conference now, and the title of the conference is Thriving in Chaos, and your country are sort of thriving in total chaos these days. How is that even possible?
I'm proud of Ukrainians and Ukrainian business. And I think it's also something about being Ukrainian. And also that time And now we do not have any other option. It's our land, and you already know that I'm from Eastern Ukraine, from occupied territories. And for us, this is the war for independence, but it's the war to think freely. And I think that it's not only Ukrainian war. It's a war which for Europe and for the whole world. And I think that for businesses, it was also very important to help the country. And I talked about the big objective which many businesses have now. And they tell about this, that now they have super task of the big objective to help our country to win, or to help our country to be a member of European Union. And I think that this big objective drives this extreme resilience shown by Ukrainian people and business.
You use the word resilience a lot in your talk and in interviews I've read with you. How would you describe this keyword?
It's exactly what you said. It's thrive in turbulent times. Sure, in the beginning it was not about thriving, it was about existing, but we move forward, and now it's about thriving. And I told some fantastic results of Ukrainian companies, and for me, I think it's amazing to open new offices in 7 countries in a year from scratch. And this is about resilience. This also when company lost everything and then they started to do the same thing again because they believe in their business, they believe in the country. It's important. And I think it also give a lot of strength for us to be resilient. But I should say that every company has its margin of resilience, and it should, and it could be improved, actually. It's what our companies told me. But the most important is to get prepared for this kind of margin and resilience.
So a lot of business leaders have been hearing you today speak and about values, and you also said that it has to be about more than money, and I assume you're speaking in a broader sense that other countries as well in peacetime have to build their companies also on other values than earning money. And how would you explain that lesson, for instance, for Norwegian companies, Norwegian industry?
Because I have been working a lot for sustainability, for me this war against Ukraine was a litmus paper for sustainability as well, and for the values, because we saw that not many companies, they withdrew their operations from Russia. And for me, it's also about values, and it's also about discrepancy between values and actions. And this is about business as usual. And we had talked so much about this before the full-fledged invasion globally. And now when I see companies with great sustainability strategies and great values, and they are still in Russia, so what does it mean? It means that their taxes in Russia contribute to this war against Ukraine. So this is, and for me, this is about values, and this is about this big discrepancy we have now. And this is about business as usual, unfortunately, because they say something different, but their actions confirm other things.
You worked in within sustainability for many years, and one thing is the company's position in the war. Another thing is inequality in the world and climate and the ESG goals in themselves, equality, sustainability, and governance. How do you see the world, the commercial sectors globally emerging into the future?
Well, I already see that sustainability is being transformed. For example, in ESG ranking before the full-fledged invasion, it was impossible to see some investments in military area. But now some investment banks and funds, they allow such kind of investments because it's about defending your country. And I think it's a big, big, big challenge. Also, I think that quite soon after our victory, there will be a big transformation moment for country building. And I think it's also about global sustainability and rebuilding the country, because now we have the most brutal war in Europe since the Second World War. Mm. And so that's why it will be also a kind of litmus test for many, many companies in the future. And I think that such kind of trends would definitely transform the future sustainability. And sure, we have climate change, and actions of companies towards climate change should be strengthened. And also, I know that in Norway, your pension fund now has a lot of money because of this war. And I know that it's around $170 billion. Mm. And it's because of the prices on oil and gas again, because of the war. And I know that there are some kind of discussion to channel this money to climate change fund, but I think that there also should be some place for Ukraine rebuilding as well.
Mm, yes, because this is a difficult issue in Norway, since it was an article in The Economist that had a title with war profiteering. Yeah. And it's obviously not something, I know that my former colleagues as Norwegian diplomats, they like reading about, and I know there are being steps made, but how important do you see that this issue for Norway abroad? How important is it for our trustworthiness up against Ukraine, for instance, in this matter?
I know that Norway supports Ukraine a lot, and we really appreciate it. And you are our big, big friends. Mm. And actually, I didn't know about this pension fund till last July when I came for this festival. But I think that Norwegians do a lot to support Ukraine, and this is true. And it's important for us. It's important a lot. But also, I think it's important to continue this kind of support, because we really need it. And I showed this picture from Odessa just two nights ago, and it's heartbreaking, and the war still continues. So we really hope for more support.
There's obviously a big discussion about democracy all over Europe, and in many ways we see the Western idea of democracy, that people are aware of that in a different way. And this follows in the tracks of globally democracy is going down. How do you see the whole world responding and sort of a democratic revolution, not just in Ukraine, but that can spread, further?
Yes, we are a bit worrying in terms of future U.S. elections, and it's a big issue. But I think that it's about right thing to do. And I think that during such kind of things, right things will be always on the top of the list. Mm. So I believe, and also I believe in people. And I told you that, I told to the audience that I spent 6 months in Vienna. But before I spent I spent just 1 month in Hungary. But my Hungarian friend, she was so hospitable, she was so supportive. So I, perhaps in some countries, I do not believe they are politicians, but I believe in people, and I believe that these people believe in good things.
Mm, because obviously, both in Hungary and, as you mentioned, the U.S., there are movements that are populist and that talk down democratic movements that are they're too elitist, yeah, or just in different ways, and political parties, political leaders are benefiting from this type of rhetoric. How do you think that can change?
Well, I think that I'm not so in politics, let's say, but for me, I believe in people, and that's why I believe that they will make the right decision, and regarding their country, but also regarding the global issues like the war in Ukraine. Mm. And that's why I believe that everything will be good with U.S. Mm. support and with U.S. assistance, because people will make the right choice.
Mm. Yeah, there's an election coming up there, and that's a way of the people and the voters to letting know what their opinions actually are. You talked a little bit about interrupters and the people who are trying to damage democracy. And how would you describe the way they work, and how do you avoid the interruption happening?
What do you mean?
So like the rhetoric of a person like Putin.
Mm-hmm.
How do you counteract that?
I think there are a lot of rhetorics about this from many countries. Now it's, you see, and everybody is watching how the war ends. And I think to stop such kind of rhetoric, Ukraine should win. The sooner the better, because it will be a very good sign, it will be a very good sign for all this rhetoric to be stopped.
Mm.
And that's why Ukraine needs such a lot of support earlier and now, because we need to stop such kind of leaders.
Mm-hmm. Talking about leaders and talking about personal resilience, we've watched and admired leaders like Zelensky, and I know your country is full of business leaders that also have risen to the occasion. How would you describe this way these people have put on themselves as persons, and I would include you as one of them, to really carry the country forward?
I'm proud of Ukrainian businesses, and made several interviews with them, and I was really surprised that after the full-fledged invasion, just in 1 hour, they were already in their offices to calm their people. And I think after the full-fledged invasion, I understood how important leadership is, because if leader is not resilient, is nervous, it won't be anything good out of this. So that's why our business leaders, both men and women, they are very resilient. But I should tell you also one thing, that resilience could be trained, because I remember myself in the first 2 weeks after the full-fledged invasion, despite the fact that 8 years ago, Russia occupied my hometown. But during these 2 weeks, I was crying practically every day. But then I understood that my team needs me, that I should be not so stressed, etc., etc. So I started to find my tools how to be resilient. And last winter also, it was one of the hardest in my life, and it was very difficult. It was because it's winter. It's total darkness. Mm. But again, I have found my personal latte cup for resilience, and I think such kind of things really could help.
And before we end, you had some very good examples earlier today from the stage, and you talked to us about the wine that survived. Could you please share that story?
Yes, it's an amazing story, and it's the story from Good Wine. Good Wine is a wine distributor in Ukraine, and actually they lost 15 million euro when their warehouse with 1.6 million bottles was ruined with Russian rocket. But 2% of bottles left, they started selling under the title Wine That Survived. Mm-hmm. And actually they told that their customers asked for this wine.
And I'm sure there are a lot of other stories that resemble this, and that shows how people are able to be creative in business life, even though they are in full chaos these days.
Yeah, I know a lot of stories about this. And it's also about personal resilience. It's about business resilience. And I think that what Ukrainians have done, what Ukrainian business have done is really amazing.
And I think that a lot of us would agree from watching it through the media and also listening to you today. How would you, if we sum up at the end, how do you see a resolution going forward that would work for Ukraine and Europe and the world?
Victory and sustainable rebuilding.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's nothing more to say. That sums it up very, very clearly. And thank you for taking time and the best of luck in all your endeavors and your country as well.
Thank you for your questions and for support.
That's enough. Put down the mic.
Du har hørt en podcast fra Podplay. En enklere måte å høre podcast på. Last ned appen Podplay, eller se podplay.no. Thank you.